Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama Da Pei Zayin. We begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Da Pei Vav Amabez, the last words on the Amid. Tanya Yidach Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda teaches us Suma Ein Loi Boishes. A Suma is not obligated in paying Boishes. V'ken Hayah Rabbi Yehuda Paitroi. And so was it the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. So was Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that he's Potter Mi Kol Dinim Shabbatayra, from all Dinim Mamunis. So I saw that the Mepharshim ask, Taisus asks, that why, if that's the case, that a Suma is Potter Mi Kol Dinim Mamunis, why did Yehuda have to teach us in our previous shir that he's Potter from Boishes? If he's Potter from all Dinim Mamunis, he's obviously Potter from Boishes. Says Taisus, that Rabbi Yehuda found a limud that teaches us, as we learned in our previous year, that he's potter from Nisa, if he murders somebody, from Golos, if he does it, b'shogig. And then he didn't anymore indeed have to have the gzer shava that we learned, that a special gzer shava for boishes. Only till we didn't have that limud, was there a special limud for Boishes. But now, there's no need for that special limud. The Ravitz says that based on this, the Suma cannot be a Dayan, and Besdin doesn't get involved in any dentire that a Suma is involved with. But if Besdin says the Chidah does see the need to get involved with a dentire with a Suma, they may get so involved if they think that's appropriate. Ask them on my time, Rabbi Yehuda, what is the basis for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Says the Gemara, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'shavto eidu ben amako ben goel adam al mishpotem ha'elu. This is a Pasuk that the Torah says regarding somebody who killed somebody b'shoigig. Kosh yeshnoi b'mako u'begin b'goel adam. Anyone who is involved, anybody that the Dayanim have a dentire about him, if he should go to Golus, yesh na b'kol mishpatim. That is going, such an individual, all the halachas, all the dinim mamas in the Torah apply to him. However, kol she'ein b'makob b'goyel adam, anyone who isn't involved such halachas, einem mishpatim, is not involved in all the psukim, in all the other halacha as well. Taisa says, continues the Gemara, Tanya Idach, there is no payment for boishes per suma. The kain hay Rabbi Yehuda paitrei, and so was the opinion of Yehuda paitrei mekol mitzvos hamurus b'tayra. He's exempt from all the mitzvos in the Torah. Stas Taisus. So now we're learning the halacha of a suma, and the halacha is that a suma is potter mekol mitzvos b'tayra. That's certainly midaraisa. The question that we need to discuss is what about midrabbanan? Is a Suma chayiv b'mitzvus midrabbanan, or a Suma potter mikol mitzvus? So Taisus says that a Suma is chayiv in all mitzvus midrabbanan. And moreover, Taisus says that even though we know that women are exempt from mitzvus seishas man grama, and the halacha that women are exempt from mitzvus seishas man grama says that not only are they exempt, there's no chiyuv even with the rabbanon for women to fulfill mitzvahs asei shazman grama. The same cannot be said by a suma. That even though a suma, as we're learning, is part of mikol mitzvahs, he should still do mitzvahs. He should do all mitzvahs, both the mitzvahs deraisa and mitzvahs derabbanon, albeit mit rabbanon. And Taisus says a very nice svara. Taisa says, because if we're going to exempt a Suma from all mitzvahs, suggests Taisus, so in what way will it be evident that a Suma, that a Jewish Suma is a Jew? It must be that we have to have somewhere for him to show that he's a member of Klal Yisrael. And how is that shown? By him fulfilling the mitzvahs, all the mitzvahs, b'drabbanan. The Rashbah disagrees. The Rashbah says that Suma is potter mikol ha-mitzvahs, and even midrabbanan, he's not mechuyev to fulfill the mitzvahs. The Rashba suggests it's only a midas chassidus that Suma should do mitzvahs. The Ritva wants to differentiate between somebody who was born blind versus somebody who became blind. He says somebody who was born blind, so he never had an obligation to fulfill the mitzvah. Since he never had such an obligation to fulfill mitzvahs, he's not even mechuyev midrabbanan. But somebody who was born healthy and unfortunately became blind, the Ritva says such a person would be mechayev in mitzvahs. The Ran doesn't agree with that approach. He says there's no basis to make such a difference. There are other Rishonim that want to suggest that there's a nafkamina between mitzvahs asay and mitzvahs lois asay. A suma is potter from the mitzvahs asay, but of course he may not violate a mitzvahs lois asay. Amar Rav Sheshes, Berei de Ravidi, my tam de Rabbi Yehuda. What is the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda that a suma is potter mikol mitzvahs? Says the Gemara, I'm a crow because the pasuk says, "Eila mishpatim, eila mitzvah v'chukim mishpatim, ashetzivah Hashem lakeichel lam eschem, kol sheyesh b'mishpatim." Whoever is relevant to the mitzvahs, to the dinei mamnas that we've been speaking, yesh na mitzvahs v'chukim is obligated in all the mitzvahs v'chukim. The kol she'ena b'mishpatim, whoever doesn't have to follow the dinei mamnas, which we've been learning is the halacha of a suma. So too, ein of a mitzvah chukim is not chayiv in the mitzvahs is not chayiv in mitzvah chukim. Says the Mar Amar Rav Yosef, Midresh Havamina. I used to say, Rav Yosef, as we know, was blind. Man da Amar Halacha Rav Yehuda. Whoever says that the halacha follows the opinion of Yehuda, the Amar that says suma patam in a mitzvah, that a suma is exempt from mitzvahs, kavid na yom taivil rabbanon. I would make a party in his honor. Why? My tama, the lema figna, because I'm an individual who's blind, so I'm not obligated to do the mitzvahs. And yet, kavidna mitzvahs, I'm doing mitzvahs, so it means that I'm showing how much the mitzvahs are worth to me. I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I live as mitzvahs, and therefore, I'm showing it by doing mitzvahs, even though I'm not obligated. However, said Rabbi Yosef, Hashtada Shamit Lahad the Rav Chanina. Now I heard what Rav Chanina taught us. Da Rav Chanina Gola Mitzvah Vaisa, Mishena Mitzvah Vaisa. Somebody who's obligated to do a mitzvah is on a higher level than somebody that isn't obligated to do a mitzvah. Man da Amalia ain't a loch Rabbi Yehuda. Somebody will tell me that the loch doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda. Rather, will say that Sumas chayiv mitzvahs for him. Avin the yom tov rabbanon. Will I make this party? My tama the chimifedna. Because if I'm obligated, it's le agritfei. So the Ritva asks that here we're learning. The Rabbi Yosef said that even though that I wasn't obligated to do the mitzvah, and I did the mitzvah, I deserve a lot of credit. The lemefigna v'kavid the mitzvahs. So ask the Ritva. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi tells us that kala oisa dover, whoever does something she'ein mitzuva that he's not obligated to do, nikra hegit. So why was Rabbi Yosef so happy if he wasn't obligated to do mitzvahs and he still did them? But haven't we just learned that doing so is considered a hegit? So why was he so proud of? So Ritva says that what the Gemara in the Yerushalmi means that if somebody does a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do at all. So somebody does a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do at all, and he does it, he's considered a hedget. But if somebody does something which is truly a mitzvah, it may not be a mitzvah for him to do, but it is a mitzvah that you're not considered a hedget. Says the Meiri, a different teretz. Says if somebody does a mitzvah, because even though he's not obligated to do it, he's nikra hedget. But if somebody that does a mitzvah because he feels that through fulfilling the mitzvah he'll become a better person. So there, of course, we don't say that doing a mitzvah that you're not obligated to do makes you a hedget. This Gemara is actually the basis for a famous discussion in the Yerushalmi, and that is in the Rishonim, and that is the question of somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah, may he make a bracha on it? Rabbeinu Tam says that our Gemara is a raya that somebody who's not obligated to do a mitzvah still may make a bracha. Why? Because in our Gemara, Rav Yosef says that even though I wasn't obligated to do the mitzvah, I still did the mitzvah. But if he can't make a bracha, because you can only make a bracha on something that you on a bracha that you're on a mitzvah that you're obligated to make, how could Rabbi Yosef have been so happy? He was losing the opportunity to make a bracha. So from here we see, says Rabbeinu Tam, that a person, even though he's not obligated to make a bracha, could still make a bracha. And this is the makar that according to Rabbeinu Tam, if a woman fulfills a mitzvah as a seisha's man groma, even though she's not obligated to do it, she could still make a bracha. And the Rabban, in fact, says that somebody who makes a bracha, even in a case where he's not obligated to do the mitzvah, is nikra chassid, is called a chassid. The Ri disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. He says, because as we learned earlier in our shir, that even though a suma is not chai b'mitzvah mederaisa, a suma is mechui b'mitzvah mederabanan. So therefore, a suma, even though he's not obligated in the mitzvah mederaisa, can make the bracha mederabanan because he's mechuyv in the mitzvah mederabanan. But a person, like we mentioned, a woman, and a mitzvah sasesha's man groma, who's entirely not obligated in the mitzvah, the Ri says, and that's the opinion of the Rambam as well, may not make a bracha. So Agamar said, the Chanina said, God la mitzvah v'oisa, greater is the individual who is mitzvah to do a mitzvah, and there are many reasons offered by the Rishonim as to why. Tosfos says in Masechta Kedushin that somebody who's mitzvah v'oisa is constantly worried, will I do the mitzvah? Because he has this obligation. Someone who doesn't have that obligation doesn't have the pressure. The Tosfos in Masechta Avodah Zarah says that a person who's mitzvah v'oisa, so the Yetzirah concentrates on that individual to try to make sure he shouldn't do the mitzvah, because he knows that person has an obligation to do the mitzvah, and the Yetzirah does whatever it can to prevent the person from doing the mitzvah. That's if he's mitzvah v'oisa. A misha, any mitzvah v'oisa, does not have the pressure. The Shita quotes a goyin that says that somebody who does a mitzvah that he's not obligated to do, so he's like yored l'umdas chaveroi, just like I'm not allowed to compete improperly, doing a mitzvah which I am not obligated to do, that is considered doing something that's not in my territory. The Ramban says that when a person, we know the Ramban says that the rule is mitzvah slav l'hanes netnu. Mitzvahs weren't given to have benefit from them. So if somebody does a mitzvah because he mitzvah v'oisa, so there he can fulfill the obligation of not a mitzvah slav l'hanes netnu. He's doing what the Torah told him to do. But if he does a mitzvah that he's not obligated to do, says the Ramban, so then he's doing it for benefit. A mitzvah slav l'hanes netnu. But the Ram points out that we look at the wording of the Gemara says, God la mitzvah v'oisa, b'misha ena mitzvah v'oisa. He says, what the Gemara means to teach us is that even though a person that is obligated to do a mitzvah is greater than a person who's not obligated, doesn't mean that the person who's not obligated and does the mitzvah should be discounted. It's godl. All the Gemara says is that it's greater, but it's not to be ignored. I saw that the Pnei Menachem explains the Gemara. The Gemara teaches us regarding Rabbi Yosef that Rabbi Yosef didn't do mitzvahs for schar. He did it only for l'shem shemayim. So that's what he thought deserves more credit. What he deserves credit is that he should get, because he didn't look for the schar. But explains the Pnei Menachem. The Reb Yosef, we know, was from the people that was from the people who transmitted Torah in Klal Yisrael. Since he was the one that transmitted Torah in Klal Yisrael, so even if he wasn't mechuyev in the mitzvah, but by transmitting it further, he gets the schar for all the Torah that his Talmidim learned. The Avni Nezer has a very interesting approach to it. He says, when a person does a mitzvah, the way to understand a person doing a mitzvah is that the person who's doing the mitzvah is really acting as a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told this person, told him, I want you to do the mitzvah. But then, when is a person able to be considered a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He's only able to be considered a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu if HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do the mitzvah. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell him to do the mitzvah, he can't be considered a shliach of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the Avni Nezer says, Gola mitzvah v'oyser, mi she'ene mitzvah v'oyser, because the person who's doing the mitzvah is doing it when he's obligated to do the mitzvah, he can be considered a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara Masechta Pesachim teaches us that Reb Yosef, b'yomei d'atzartar, Reb Yosef on Shavuos, he says, "Evlav high yomei d'kagorim, if not for this great day, kama Yosef v'kabeshuka." There are many people like Yosef. So what's pshat in this Gemara? So Reb Eliyachim Meisel, the Lemberger Rav, explains that Reb Yosef, as we know, and from our Gemara, was blind. So Reb Yosef used to see it, looked at himself as a summa potter mikol mitzvahs. He looked at himself as less than all other Jews, because all other Jews are obligated to do mitzvahs, and he, Reb Yosef, did not have the obligation to do mitzvahs. But what he said was that I do have the ability to learn Torah, and I have the ability to teach people Torah. So what he used to say was, Ilav ha-yoyim t'kagorim, if not for this day of Kabbalah Satorah, then everybody would have been the same. I would be the same as everybody else. On this day, Rabbi Yosef would say about himself, this is the way Rabbi Yechaim Meisel explains, that he used to say about himself that I now am less than everyone else, because everybody else today becomes a mitzvah v'oisa, but I unfortunately remain an einam mitzvah v'oisa. Of course, the Ein Eliyahu, the Gra asks that Reb Yosef was upset because since he's Ein Mitzvah V'Oisa, he doesn't get the schar. But don't we learn in Pirkei Avos, Al Tiyu Avodim HaMishamshim Asarav Amanas L'Kabel Pras, says the Ein Eliyahu, that Reb Yosef was extremely modest, as we just said. And Reb Yosef viewed himself as an individual who only is doing mitzvahs for schar. But of course, that wasn't his intention. The Yamsha Shloima says that our Gemara is the basis for the minig that we make a suda when a boy becomes a bar mitzvah. Because as we're learning in our Gemara, Gola mitzvah v'oisa, yoisa, v'misha ena mitzvah v'oisa. So somebody who is mitzvah v'oisa, somebody becomes a bar mitzvah, then he now becomes a bar mitzvah, that's his chus, to become a mitzvah v'oisa. For that we make a suda. And in fact, I saw that Reb Nasha Klein, as a tzal in the Shalos Tshuvos Mishnah Halachis, wants to suggest that this is the source that whenever we do a mitzvah, we know that when people do a mitzvah, many times attached with doing a mitzvah is that we make a sudas mitzvah. What is the point of the sudas mitzvah? So he explains that when a person does a mitzvah, particularly a mitzvah that he's obligated to do, and our Gemara says that he gets schar for doing that mitzvah, gal mitzvah v'oisa, and that's why he makes a suda to commemorate that. Says the Mishnah, ze chaymer ba'adam mibishar. There's a stringency when a person injures someone versus an animal. Adam, as we learned, Mishalm, Nezak Tzah, Ripu Shevis, Ubaishes, the Bishalim Dmei Velodis. If he caused a woman to miscarriage, he has to pay the value of those babies. Shor Eidem Bishalim El Nezek. A Shor only pays the Nezek. And Potter Dmei Velodis, he's exempt from paying the value of those baby. And the Rishonim point out that even in a case where we'll know that the animal had intention of doing damage, it doesn't change the halacha. The animal never pays more than nezek. Hamakas avavis imoy. If somebody unfortunately hit a parent, loyasa chabura, but he didn't make a permanent damage. He didn't. There was no blood that came out, so he's not chayv misa for that type of injury. Hachayv b'chaver b'yom kippurim. Or somebody hit somebody else in Yom Kippurim, chay b'kulan, he has to pay nezek tzar ripi shevus abayshus, even though normally if somebody violates Yom Kippur, he's chayiv malchus. And normally we know that halacha is in learning the halachas of Kimlei b'derabanei. Whenever there's malchus a mammon, we give malchus and not mammon. Here the halacha is mishalim ve'ena. Mishalim ve'en aloika, he'll pay and he won't get malchus. Hachayv be'evet ivri, if somebody injures an evet ivri, chay be'kulan, chutz misheves, bizman shevet shaloi. If somebody hits his own evet, he's going to be chayv in everything besides for unemployment, because the employment of that evet belongs to its owner. And the real Unil says the chiddush here is that you're going to be chayv even for boishes, that there is boishes by an Eved Ivri. Hachayv b'Eved Kanani shel Achayrim. If somebody hits someone else's Eved Kanani, chayv b'kulin, he has to pay everything. Rav Yehuda Omer, ein l'avodim boishes. Rav Yehuda says that there is no payment for boishes by an Eved Kanani. Says the real Unil, this machlokes is only by an Eved Kanani that went through the procedure of having tefillah and milah. But an Eved Kanani that did not have tefillah or milah, everybody agrees there is no chiyuv boishes. Cheresh shayt v'katan, pigyos and raw. Getting into an altercation with a cheresh shayt v'katan is bad. Hachayv behem, because somebody does damage to them, chayiv, he will be held responsible. Behem shechavu b'acherim, but if they damage someone else, since they're cheresh shayt v'katan, The halacha is that he's chavul b'cherim. If they do damage to somebody else, the halacha is that they will be pturim. I saw a very interesting psak from the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish said that there was once a child who took a stone and broke the window of a store. And the question was, is there any financial responsibility? And the Chazon Ish said that if the child was not under any parental supervision when he did it, then the child, as we just learned, is pigyos and raw. If a child does damage, then he's not held responsible. But if the parent was there and he did not properly supervise his child when the child did damage, the parent will be held responsible. Says the Mishnah, Ha'eved v'isha p'yos n'ra. Ha'eved or a woman, again, is a bad place to get into altercation. Ha'chayv b'heim chayiv. They do damage, they do injury. They are injured, you chayiv. V'heim shechav b'cherim. But if they do damage to others, p'turim. Avol, says the Mishnah, Mishalm l'chazman. What the Mishnah means to say is that when in this state, when they're now in this situation, they're going to be potter. But if ultimately the woman gets divorced and she has his own money, or he ever gets freed and he has his own money, then chayav l'shalom, he'll have to pay for the damage he did. However, the Rishonim point out there's a difference between a cheresh shoytim katan and a isha. And a cheresh shoytim katan do damage. They don't have to pay when they become older under normal circumstances. We'll speak about this more in a second. However, a woman, It's only right now while she's married, she doesn't have her own finances. But once she's in a situation, the woman or whatever, Kanani, who have their own finances, at that point, they'll be chayiv. And in fact, there's a very nice verse from the Sefer Chayei David. The pasuk says, Ish o isha kiyasim kol chatos ha'odom, a man or a woman who do an aveira, v'svadus chatosim ha'sha'asa, v'heishiv ha'shamay. So ask the Sefer Chayei David, why does the pasuk start v'svadu, loshen rabim, but when it speaks about v'heishiv ha'shamay, it says it b'loshen yachid. So he says a very nice pshat. As far as the aveira is concerned, of hitting someone else, men, women, everybody are equivalent. You're not allowed to do damage to anyone else. Since everyone is equivalent, so they have to do tshuva. V'svados avoinam. The pasuk says it b'loshin rabim, that both the man and the woman are obligated to do tshuva. But when it comes to the payment, so our Mishnah said that only adult men are obligated in the payment, not women. That's why the pasuk changes tenses and says v'heishiv es ashamay. Hamaka of a v'imay, if somebody, Rachman Slan, hits a parent, v'asa ben chabura, and caused damage, blood came out, hachayv b'chaveri b'shabbos, so somebody hits somebody else on Shabbos, potem mekulon, then he doesn't have to pay. Because we employ over here the halacha of kimle b'derabmenei, shenidim v'nashe, his chayv misa, and the halacha is, once there's chiv misa, there is no chiv momen. Somebody who hits his own ever kanani, the halacha is potter mekulon, he's potter. The Beis Yosef, however, does point out that even if there is no financial obligation, the person who hits his ever kanani violated an aveiru. We're not allowed to be chayvu. We're not allowed to hit somebody else, and he'll get malchus. The drisha disagrees, and the drisha holds that there wouldn't be chiv malchus. So now the question is: you have a boy. The way I sort of say for Mishpatei Torah discusses this question. There was a boy that said that when he was a young boy, every day he would steal a roll and a bag of, and a jar of chocolate milk from the local grocery. Now, he became an adult, and his question was, does he have to repay what he did? And if he does have to repay, how much does he have to repay? Because he doesn't really remember how much is the value of what he stole. The halacha, as we're learning, is that a child is not chayiv for damage. Included in learning what a child is not chayiv in damage includes geneva. If a child, Rachman Slan, stole when he's a child, he doesn't have to pay it. However, point out the Paiskim, that even though that's the din medinei ha'adam, lefnim mishuras hadin, that the Ramah in our Chaim, Simon Shin Mem Gimel says that royal cotton, sh'ova avariable yedusai, a child who did aveiros as a child, shiyasa tshuva akach shiyagdol. And the Taz over this of cotton bays, the Mishnah Berurah of cotton Taz, says that a child who did damage as a child has to pay for the damage he did. However, what about the parent? So we quoted a moment ago, the Chazanish says it depends if the parent was there or not. However, the Paiskim say that it is appropriate that the parent, if they know that the child did damage or stole, the halacha is appropriate that the parent should, even though halachically that are not obligated to pay, the halacha is that they should still, it's for the benefit of the child, it's the benefit for them to pay for any damages that were done. That if he doesn't know how much he stole, the halacha is that he has to be machmer. It's a shaila. And if you don't know how much you stole, you have to pay that much till you'll be certain that the amount that you paid is beyond what the damage you did. But the Mishpatei Torah says that the person, the victim of the geneva, should be fair and be ready to compromise
when a child like this comes to him and is anxious to do tshuva, he should make it easy for him to do tshuva. And he also says what's very important is that the victim, once the child is trying to make restitution, it's appropriate that the victim should say to this child, I am meichel you. Begins the Gemara. Baminei, Rav Lozma Rav. Hachayvel bas ktana shel acherim. If somebody injured a ktana that belonged to someone else, chavol olami, who is entitled to those payment? And the Gemara explains this question. Mi aminan, the Torah says, kivin da aklei rechmona, the Torah says, b'nureh beis aviyah, and based on this pasuk, we learn that the father has a right to marry off his daughter to whomever he wants. Shvach ne'urim lo'av, the father has a right to marry off his daughter who's a ketana to whomever he wants. So therefore, chavol nami davohu, the injury should go to him. My tama, da'afchus makaspa, she's worth less. She's less attractive as a kala if she has a wound. The Torah says that he is entitled to marry off. The father has a right to marry off to whomever he wants. But when it comes to hitting her, the father, and even if giving her to such a man could be very detrimental to her, that's the right that the Torah gave him. But the Torah never gave him the right to hit her. Even the boy, if he wanted to hit his daughter, he certainly has no right to do so. So like Kanye Rachmana, if she gets injured, he isn't entitled to the payment. Amalei, so Rav answered, the only thing that the Torah gave the father is Ella Shvach Nurim Bavad, the right to marry her off, nothing else. Ask the Gemara, Eisvei, we learned in the Mishnah, Chayv Eved Ivri, if somebody injures an Eved Ivri, Chay B'Kulon, he has to pay Tzar Ripu and Boishis, Chutzman Hashevis, he doesn't have to pay Shevis, B'Zman Shaloi. The reason he doesn't have to pay Shevis, because what is the definition of Shevis? Unemployment. And here the Eved's time and employment belongs to the owner anyway. So ask the Gemara, it shouldn't it be the same that if somebody, Rachmano Tzlan, injures his daughter, or somebody else injures somebody's daughter, since whatever the daughter earns belongs to the father. So this individual, by injuring the daughter, the girl, and she won't be able to work, so shouldn't that be a reason that the father should be entitled to the Shevis? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, indeed, Moed Rav. Rav agrees regarding the Shevis payment, the Masya Del Achad Spagrus, whatever she earns until she becomes a Begeris, Davu Hava, and therefore she was injured, and there is need for a Shevis payment, it goes to the father. Eisvei asked the Gemara another question. It says in the Braisa, Hachoyva B'noya Godl, if somebody hits his adult son, Yitin Loi Miyad. The halacha is that we should pay for that damage immediately. B'noya Katan, if somebody hits a young son, even though the halacha is Yas Loi Skula, we should make a skula. The Gemara will soon explain what that means. Yasla skula. Hachayva bita ketana. If somebody injures his bita ketana potter, v'loy oid el acherim shechavol bo, chayv liten avio. So doesn't it say clearly over here that the father is entitled to the damages? Says the Gemara, hachinami, if here we're speaking about a case, b'shevis. We're talking about a case of Shevis, which even as we just learned a moment ago, Rav agrees that the Shevis goes to the father, that is what the Braisa is referring to. So we just learned with Nai Godel, Yitul Miyad, that you should give it to the son immediately. Verminu asked the Gemara, there's another Braisa that says, Achayv b'noi b'noi sov, shalachayrim yidoylim yitul miyad, ketanim yaslam skula. So how do we reconcile? Here it says that if a father hits his adult son, he has to pay. not just pay, he must pay immediately. And here it says that he's potter, answers the Gemara, loikasha. Kan smuch mal shulchanai, if they're being supported by him, so the halacha is that they don't have to pay. The braisa that says that you do have to pay, shein smuch mal shulchanai, is when they're not being supported by the father. Says the Gemara, v'maya kim to l'maisa, so how have we explained the braisa that says that you do have to pay? The father has to pay if he hit his adult son. Ask the Gemara, Yachi, if that's the way we're explaining, is the case of the braisa. Ema Sefer, let's continue learning the braisa. The braisa says, Hakoyv bita ktana potter. V'loyoid, afil achayim shachal b'chayiv and litan le'aviya. Says the Gemara, but if we're talking about a case, asked the Gemara, where the father is not supporting the daughter, so she should get those payments. The Bai Mazani, she has to have a place where to live from. And continues the Gemara. Even according to the opinion that we learned in Masech the Gittin, Daf Yud Beis Amin Aleph, the Yochal Rav Loimel Eved Aseim Ive Ein Zoncha, that if owner has a right to say to his Eved Kanani, do your work, but I won't support you. Hani Mili, when was that said? Regarding whom was that said by Eved Kanani? Domele, where the owner could say to him, Ovid Avidita Kula Yoima, work all day, or Ulurta at night, Zil Schar. Rashi says, Zil Schar, go around and look for food. Or others say, go around and take another job. Aval Eved Ivri, but when we speak about an Eved Ivri, where the Torah in describing an Eved Ivri says ki tov lo imach, and the Gemara explains imach b'machel imach b'meshta, you have to give him proper food and drink. Loi, you can't say that. For kashkein bitoi, and certainly you can't say to your daughter, and frankly you can't say to your shifcha kananis. So why does the Braisa say that if he's not supporting her, he doesn't have to pay damages? Why? Answers the Gemara, Kedamar Rava Berei Dravula, Lenitzcha La Adofa. What we're speaking about here is a case she's getting more than what she needs to survive. That the Gemara speaks about that as well in Masechta Ksubos Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. And that's the question, what is the daughter entitled to keep? And what must she give back to her father? And if she's earning more than she needs, the halacha is that she has to give that to the father. Hachnami, this Bryce is speaking about why does the father not have to pay the daughter if he injured her? Because la'adofa, it's more than what she needs to survive, so then he doesn't have to give it to her. He can't say, well, she needs it to survive. Says the Gemara, b'may kintel b'sraisa, so have we explained the other Bryce? B'smuchim al shulchanai. If he's supporting them, he doesn't have to pay them if he's injuring them. Says the Gemara, Gedolim, the Braisa says that if they're adults, Yitilem Miyad. Ketanim, and if they were Ketanim, Yaslam Skula. But ask the Gemara, if we're referring here to a situation that these children are being supported by the father, so why do we give it to the children if they're damaged? Laviyam Da'il Mesiv, shouldn't we give the money to the father, he's supporting them? Says the Gemara, Amri, when is there a concept that we have to give the father, if the father supporting them, the father deserves the payment? Ki kapid, when does the father insist that he should get it? B'midit kachasar, and it's such in a case where he loses, so he feels that he deserves that his loss should be compensated. B'midit asubim alma, where it's money that doesn't represent a loss to him, there Allah is like kapan, and he's okay that they should get it. Says the Gemara, Bamitsia, if somebody finds something, which is certainly not representing something that you earned, the Ma'alma Kasalei, and yet the Gemara Masech Bamitsia, that Yud Beis Amin Aleph teaches us, Kakapit, the father insists that it should go to him. As the Mishnah teaches us there, Metzias benoy ubita iktanim. If a child finds something, Sheherei Shaloi, because the father is makbid. Amri, rafcha de kosleim alma, something that the child finds. Veles letzad gerufa begavai, and the child didn't have to suffer to earn that money. Kapid, the father wants that money. So a metzia, even though it came without having to work for it, but on the other hand, since he didn't have to work for it, and he didn't have to suffer for it, the father says, I want it. Ava chavola, when we talk about a child getting injured, this letzar de gavayu, that he had to suffer from that injury, and also ma'alma kosalei, it came not because somebody else did it, there, like kapit, the father doesn't care and lets it go to the child. Ask the Gemara, v'hasam, in the case where somebody injured Brita Iktana, this Latsar de Gufa, she's suffering, and she didn't work for it, it's coming from outside people, kakapit, we still find that the father cares. The Ktani, why? If we say if these two conditions are met, the father doesn't deserve it, so why should the father deserve it here? Amri, says the Gemara, Hassam, that Braisa is speaking about your not usual case. The Gavra Kabdonahu, the father is a very tough person. What's the proof? We're speaking about a father who isn't even supporting his children. I feel such a father, I feel b'mida da aslo ba'alma, anything that the child earns, he's kapit. Hacha, but the other Braisa is speaking about Gavra de Loikaf Donahu. He's not such a tough person. What's the proof that he's not such a tough person? The Simchun Shulchanai. He has no problem supporting his children. The Kika Pulpit. So where does he insist to get the payment? But me did the Kachasale, something that represents something that he lost. But me did the Aslam Alma, but something that doesn't represent something that he lost, like Kapid, and he's okay that the children should get it. So we learned earlier that if somebody's chayvel b'katan and he has to pay him, yas a skula. Ask the Gemara, my skula. What is the definition of a skula? Rav Chisda Amar, to write with it a Sefer Torah. Because a Sefer Torah is something that lasts forever. Rabbi Rav Huna Amar, dikla, a date tree, the ochel minei tamri, that you could eat the dates from the tree for a very long time. So the Rashbam, the Chassam Sofer explaining the Rashbam, says that when the Mara says you should buy a Sefer, it means specifically Sefer Torah, not other Sfarim. Because truthfully, he says that a Dekel, we can make an argument, is even more valuable than a Sefer Torah, because a Dekel gives fruit which you could eat. Sefer Torah doesn't really represent that. So why is the Sefer Torah an option? Because the Sefer Torah is an option, explains the Chassam Sofer, because everybody is obligated to write a Sefer Torah. So he'll fulfill his obligation with the Sefer Torah. But any other Sefer, you don't fulfill an obligation, and it's not something that brings income, and they wouldn't be an option. But the Ritva disagrees. He says that it doesn't necessarily have to be a Sefer Torah, it could be any Sfarim. Because the Ritva explains, this is the way the Taz explains the Ritva, that the obligation here is that the child should be able to learn as he grows up. And he needs regular Sfarim to learn as well. And therefore, the halacha will be that you can fulfill this obligation even with regular Sfarim. Which is the similar question that the Rishonim discuss, the mitzvah, the mitzvah that we have to write a Sefer Torah, can we fulfill that mitzvah specifically with Sefer Torah, or can we do it with other Sfarim as well? The Kain Amar Ish Lakish, the only right that the Torah gave to the father, the right to marry her off, but not Chas V'Shalom if she's injured. Rabbi Yochanan says, a filu p'tziya. Ask the Gemara, doesn't mean that the father is entitled to the payment for injury. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Lezer, Lo'in Kabayle, Al Havola, Defchus Mekaspa. The only time Rabbi Elazar asked this question as we began our shir is in a situation where the girl was injured and she's not as valuable as to be married. Avo p'tzia, if a girl just was hurt, the like ifchsa makaspa, like Kamibayle, that certainly the father's not entitled. Answers, the Gemara says, the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yosef b'Chanina, k'shepatzu b'fanel. We're speaking about a case where she was hit in the face, and there's a mark there, and therefore, if chasa mekaspa, she's less valuable to be married. But in a case where there isn't that type of a wound, and she doesn't become less attractive and less valuable, everybody will agree that the father is not entitled to that payment.